Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
So, hello, this is Real Stories. I am your host, Talia the Communication Doctor. And I'm really excited today because on my show today, I have Angela Marshall, who is a former NFL wife, public speaker, and author of The Story and a Life of an Ex-NFL Wife. Welcome, Angela.
Hello, Talia. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine. I just love your energy. It's so great to have someone of your energy on the show. And I want to just go straight in, because it's just been really funny today as we've been trying to record with each other. And it's just been a little bit up and down, but we've got there in the end. And I want to say what's really lovely is I'm calling you all the way from Hackney and you are in Atlanta, Georgia. Is that right?
I am actually in Augusta, Georgia this week, but still Georgia, yes.
Georgia. Okay, that's absolutely brilliant. And I love it. I love it. I love your accent too.
I love yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So tell me a little bit about being an NFL wife and why you wrote this book. And number one, why you're an ex-NFL wife. So just first of all, just tell my audience, because I might have a British audience here as well as your American audience, what an NFL wife is. And secondly, you know, just some of the challenges of why you wrote the book. Go ahead.
Okay, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I am Angela Marshall, and I am a former NFL, which NFL is National Football League wife. My ex-husband played as a professional football player for the New York Giants and the Denver Broncos from 1992 till around 1999. And during that time, that whole lifestyle was very exhilarating. It was very exciting. It was very entertaining, but it was also very draining for me. It was very draining only because I talk about how when we met, we had children very early as I was, you know, finishing up my last year of high school and he was moving on to college, University of Georgia. And so, you know, you have two children or basically two young adults really still trying to identify and find themselves. And in the midst, they are raising children. It was very difficult for me, being a person who suffered with, you know, depression and anxiety, low self-esteem, and then some other things that I just, to be honest with you, Tanya, I just had not figured out who I was at that point. And I just was not strong enough to really be in that particular, I wasn't strong enough to be in that particular environment, I guess, if you would.
Okay.
So from that standpoint, I just, you know, went and I decided that I would write this book and that I would tell my side of the story, which was, yes, you know, I was a former NFL wife. That lifestyle is very lavish, but it also lacked a lot, or I also lacked a lot while being in that particular lifestyle.
Brilliant. So what I want to come to is just going back a little bit, my love. I just want to go back a little bit to your childhood and where you grew up. So just to get a bit of an insight into your life before you became an NFL wife, because you said, you know, the lifestyle was very lavish. And you also said that, you know, there were some things about the lifestyle that may have been nice, but there was also some things that weren't so nice. But just for my audience to get an idea of where you've come from.
Okay.
So just kind of go back to childhood. Give me a little bit of a picture of where you've come from, what sort of area you were brought up from, because I know you talk a little bit about rags to riches. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So I appropriately named the book Reality, or when I speak, it's Reality to Rags to Riches. Reality, it chronicles me as a little child growing up light-skinned in an African-American environment. And I just talk about several of the challenges that I faced during that time. Just different things that kind of made me, I don't know, made me a little bit more, I guess, question who I was and you know, what my whole purpose was at that particular time. I grew up a very, very mischievous only child. And, you know, I was also a drama queen, I guess, of sorts. One who loved writing. I loved spelling. I loved performing in different plays, productions, if you would. You know, very lively and bubbly child. But just that environment. And it wasn't, you know, that it was just an African-American environment that just heaped negativity on me. That's not it. It's just that being different, as you know, as you know, sometimes it raises a lot of questions and a lot of curiosity within yourself when you don't look like everybody else, or you know, are kind of trying to identify and trying to fit in, but you don't necessarily fit in. So from that standpoint, I talk about the reality of being raised by my grandparents, not really knowing my you know, biological mother or father, even though, you know, my mom was more so in and out of my life quite a bit, but I still lived and was reared and was raised and was disciplined by my grandparents. So from that standpoint, I talk about my reality. That was my reality. My rags was coming into, I guess, high school, meeting this man or meeting this, you know, young adult, falling in love, I guess, if you would, the teenage love, so to speak. He was my first boyfriend. He was, you know, just this man who I thought that I would be spending the rest of my life with this puppy love and teenage love and whatnot. We end up, we have two children, two amazing adult children right now. And we, you know, move on into this lifestyle after he completes his degree at the University of Georgia. We move into this lifestyle of the NFL. He was not drafted. He went undrafted in the NFL. But even still, it was just a very, very rocky, I guess, and tumultuous time for me, because, again, I'm still not, you know, quite sure about who I am and what my purpose is, what my calling is. And so I'm just kind of, you know, floating with the wind, I guess, whichever way it goes. If it goes right, I go right. If it goes left, I go left. So with that being said, being thrust into that particular lifestyle, it was very scary. It was very intimidating for me. So I decided at that point, okay, well, I have my rags piece, because it was like the lowest of the low point for me, trying to fit in, figure out, you know, exactly with the other wives or just in general where I fit in life. So that's why I termed the book The Story in Life of an Ex-NFL Wife, because I never really knew where I fit until then. You get to my richest piece, where I've gone through different obstacles. I've turned a lot of stumbling blocks into stepping stones in my life, just different ups and downs and highs and lows that I've, you know, that I was afforded the opportunity to overcome. And then I figure out, or I come to the light, or come to the knowledge of what my true riches are. And the true riches are engaging with people, being in service to people, finding out, you know, who I am and the strength and the power and the position and the potential that I actually have in my life.
Okay, there's so much there. I just want to come back a little bit, Angela, because there's so much there. There's so much richness there. And as I'm listening to you, for me, there's a common thread from when you talked about growing up in Georgia and your biological parents not being around, and then meeting this man from high school who you fell in love with and you wanted to be with. And then basically within the NFL world, still feeling like you're not fitting in, and also being a light-skinned woman and being surrounded in a black area, feeling like you don't fit in. And then in the football world, feeling like you don't fit in. So there is a thread there of what you're saying as not being able to fit in. Now, where do you feel that feeling has come from? Because that for me is very, very interesting. So I just want to dial it back. So where do you think that feeling of not fitting in, did it go back to your childhood? And with regards to your parents, just out of interest, why were you brought up by your grandmother? Could you tell us that story?
Yes, absolutely. So you're absolutely correct. it all started with childhood from me feeling rejected. Because most yes. of the children at that particular time, there was two-parent homes, or they yes. lived with their mother and their father, or they lived with a parent, not yes. a, you know, not in particular a grandparent. So I guess for me, like my cousins, you know, knowing that they would come over to my grandmother's house and then they would go back to their respective homes with you know, the two-parent home. And my friends, you know, the majority of them, they had two-parent homes also. I felt really sad, and I felt really disconnected, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, that makes sense. I can totally understand when you say that. And go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just never really, settled, if that makes sense, within myself. Like, I was just this worry wart of sorts, like, okay, well, this, you know, my mom doesn't want me, my dad, biological dad doesn't want me. You know, and then it spilled over into friendships, like, oh, well, you know, if a person did something and it hurt my feelings, then I automatically withdrew into this little child of, you know, feeling rejection and feeling really saddened, I guess. So, yeah, it actually, all of that started from my childhood, and it was rejection. So I'm, you know, going through counseling and some other things to deal with the whole spirit of rejection, or just battling, you know, that particular darkness and dismal time in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It sounds really interesting. And it makes a lot of sense when you said, you know, with regards to you battling that, because it is important to feel like you fit in. But part of it is, I suppose, starting with yourself and loving yourself, number one, and not caring what people think. I think part of that is the journey as well. But just moving forward now, I want to kind of lighten it up a little bit and ask you, what was your happiest memory whilst you were married to the footballer?
The happiest memory, yeah. You know, let's see. Wow. I guess that's pretty deep there, Tanya, because I will be honest with you. I have been focusing, I guess, so much on the dismal and,
yes,
you know, the dark ones, the dark times, until I would probably say, well, okay, I will say this. The happiest times was, you know, just feeding into and fueling happiness into our children, meaning, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of cares at that particular time because, you know, we were, yeah, for the most part, our parenting skills had become a little bit more grounded, I guess, even though we were still early 20s trying to raise, you know, a three and a five-year-old. But just my happiness was through the eyes of my children, which is another reason why one of my mottos that I'm very, very stuck on and I exhort people to do is live vicariously through themselves, because I've lived vicariously through others for so long. So to answer your question, which is, you know, kind of sad in a way, but then it's kind of freeing for me to even be able to articulate it and admit it. I was happy during the NFL time through my children. It wasn't necessarily, it wasn't necessarily happy points for my life. It was just all through them, knowing that, you know, they were having a better life. They were being exposed to a lot of great things, a lot of, you know, you know, just different characteristics, different people that actually was pouring into them to helping them, you know, become the people that they are today. But it all kind of filtered through my children, now that I'm thinking about it.
So was there the reason I asked you this question, because I always feel, you know, sometimes even in our darkest moments, there could be some happy moments. And then there was also some challenging moments, too, as I know you've spoken about some of the challenging moments. And sometimes if you look back and it's sometimes there's just a moment and you thought where you look at someone or you look at a situation, you feel like that moment makes me feel really happy.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I can do that now, you know, and like I guess like maybe 10, 15 years ago. But during that time, I mean, just being honest with you, Tanya, I don't have a happiness moment for me. And that's really sad, because we were in the NFL for like 8 years. Mm. And, you know, like I said, it was just always about other people. It was about my ex. It was about my children, you know, about my children, or it was about our families trying to keep them happy, whether they were asking for money or tickets or, you know, they needed X, Y, Z or whatever. But I honestly, I can't recall a time when that I can say to you right now, during this time, this is how I, you know, this was my happy time. I can't say that.
That's absolutely fine, my love. That's absolutely okay. That's fine. It's just interesting. It's very, very fascinating for me just to hear that. So let's move it on. Yep. And I want you to tell me what was the most challenging moment so that that led you to leave that situation.
Well, my ex-husband and I were actually at a counseling session. And, you know, I was very, very quiet. I was very still while he was, you know, telling the counselor his perspective. And when he came to me to ask me, okay, well, now, you know, Angela, it's time for you to open up. It was like nothing. Like, I didn't feel any, you know, type of way to be able to express to him, well, here is the problem. Here is, you know, the solution that I'm looking for. Here is, you know, I want to be a part of the solution. I just simply said to him, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I guess because I was, now that I'm thinking about it, and this interview is really, really good. Thank you so much, because you are making me, you know, relive and just really, really think long and hard about this journey, the story and life of an ex-NFL wife. Okay. I, at that particular point, now that, you know, I'm able to recall it, I was just tired of not living my life. So it was as if I was floating through in this robotic way, living for everybody else, living through everybody else, and I was simply tired. And so at that point, when the counselor or the advisor turned to me and asked me about, you know, my life, you know, what I was willing to do to put my marriage back together or keep my marriage together, I just simply said, I'm done.
You know what? I love that. And you know what? That's really, really powerful. If you just listen to that word, I'm done. As you said that, when you said, I'm done, and you're tired of living this life, it's really quite powerful, because it's you taking that first step to coming out on your own and starting to live your life. Because it sounds to me like if you felt so unhappy in that relationship, it must have felt like prison. It must have felt like being in prison. You know, when you're in a relationship where you absolutely hate it and you feel like you can't do certain things, but yet you have all of this money and this wealth, but it just proves that wealth and all the fancy things doesn't necessarily bring happiness.
That is so correct. And I will say this, as I've said on every other interview, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, you know, it wasn't, I can't blame, and I don't blame my ex-husband. I don't blame the NFL. I don't blame the materialistic possessions, the monetary. I don't blame the environment for that particular lifestyle. It wasn't any of that. It was all solely about Angela. About what Angela did not do, could not do, was not doing, and I was making myself unhappy, because at any given moment I could have made decisions to, you know, live or to be better or to make better choices for myself, and I just did not, for whatever reason. So no, it wasn't, you know, yeah. So it wasn't any fault of his. It was all on Angela. But yes, I said, I'm done. And the moment that I said that, of course, you know, the advisor, the counselor, he was trying to get a little more out of me and was trying to redirect. But at that point, my heart, like, I had no butterflies in my stomach. I had, my heart wasn't racing fast. I was very calm. And that was, honestly, Tanya, that was the first time that I had made a decision for my life. Now, I'm not an advocate for divorce. I'm not an advocate for, you know, separation or it, absolutely not. I wish that I had the strength to hold or to keep my marriage together, but I did not. I chose not to, but that was the first choice that I actually made for myself.
You know what? It's brilliant. I think it's brilliant. You know, as you said, it's not always the nicest thing to leave a marriage, but I think it's the best sometimes thing to leave a situation where you feel that you're totally unhappy. But I want to ask you now, because you said you left to live your best life. So are you now living your best life, Angela?
I am absolutely living my best and my blessed life. 100%. And but it's only because my mindset is I know who I was created to be. And that's a person of peace, of love, forgiveness, compassion, joy, light. And I'm walking in those things every single day. See, I didn't do that back then.
Thank you, Angela. It's really great to have you as a guest on my show today. And I'm so glad that you are living your best life, because that's what it's all about, really. You've been through so much, and now you've come to a point that you said you were done. You said, I'm done. You walked away from the relationship, which you found to be very difficult. And I feel, as you said, you're not an advocate for divorce, but now it's time for you to move on and to explore your best life and to continue processing your best life. So I wish you all the best. And I want to say from Tally the Communication Doctor and from Angela Marshall, adios. I just want to say it's really interesting to talk to Angela today and to discover that she didn't find any happiness within her relationship, but she found happiness leaving that relationship, and she is now finding happiness writing her book about NFL wives, and she's on her journey. And I think my biggest takeaway from that is, you know, don't stay in a relationship where you feel that you have nothing, no form of happiness apart from your children. So that's what I want to take away from today. Thank you for giving us the time to listen. Take care.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.